This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Namai haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0. This week, Free FM lost one of its most prominent broadcasters. Peter Lane has died, and we thank Peter for his service to Free FM as a friend and as a colleague here at Free FM. He has been part of Free FM's family for a long, long time. He and Tricia hosted a Sunday morning show full of devotions and Christian music. Peter had a love of horses, especially Clydesdales and other working horses, and he told us stories about that. He was part of the research for the current Mel Driscoll Historic Souvenirs on the DB Clydesdales, and thanks to him the story has been running for weeks here on Free FM. After 2 o'clock, Peter rung me up a few times and said, "Hey, loved your music." Peter, it's been a pleasure having you and Trish as friends as part of the Free FM family. May you rest in peace, my friend. Well, the thought is mine. The opinion is mine. Free FM 89.0. This is Column Comment. Well, there's three stories in the Waikato Times, and they're all linked to the Hamilton City Council. Rates rises settled at 16%. City eases off on savings plan. And who owns what in the region's councils? Well, the rate rise has been settled at 16.5%. It was going to be 19%+ in the original plans, but the council, in their due diligence, has been finding savings all over the place. We even had this comment from the mayor, Paula Southgate. She insisted every rock and stone had been turned over in a search for savings. There's no pet projects in this one. But I have to differ with you, Mum. It's the other story that was in the paper this week. Who earns what in the region's councils? The Hamilton City Council has more staffers earning in excess of $100,000 a year. I counted 342. The Hamilton City Council chief executive, he gets $400,000 a year. So, why weren't they asked to take a voluntary pay cut? There's some savings you can make. The bill for paying these wages, it was over $1 million. You could have saved some money and asked for a bit of saving there. Voluntary ask to take a pay cut. But other services could be affected in the pay cuts. We could lose a library. We could lose CitySafe. So, any other councils in this area are worse too. They've got over $100,000 being paid out to a lot of their people too. So, it's an irony that the council says they haven't got the money, but they're paying out $400,000 to the CEO, and over 300 people being paid over $300 a year. For what? We don't know what they do. Your comments later. It's a quarter to 1 o'clock. Day 160, 205 to go. June 9, 2024. This day in 1995, ANZ Airlines Flight 701, bound for Palmerston North, crashes in the Tararua Ranges, killing four on board.
It's better to be in another It's good to leave it all behind somewhere around the bend. Cause the lights are right.
This day, 1988, New Zealand All Black, Richard Kahui. 18 test, Tokoroa. He's 38 today. Songwriter Cole Porter was born. He died in 1964.
Suntan, windblown, honeymooners at last.
This day, 1895, novelist Charles Dickens dies, writing Edwin Drood. This day in 2017, actor Adam West, Bruce Wayne, Batman, and Mayor Adam West in Family Guy dies. This day in 1899, signs a 99-year lease with the UK over Hong Kong. In 1934, Mickey Mouse has a rival in the form of Donald Duck, introduced this day in The Wise Little Hen. Day in June 9, 1964, this song was New Zealand number one for 1 week. It was the Beatles.
Someone to love.
Free FM 89.0 Independent Community Media. Yes, the Beatles and Love Me Do, number one New Zealand this day in 1964. Well, from the Waikato Times of May 21, 1941, the Reverend Hitchcock officiated at the wedding of Kaipaki resident Violet Garmondsway to Joseph Collins. The best man was Calvin Garmondsway, I remember Calvin, and groomsman was Ray Garmondsway. The guests included my grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Alf Scott, and daughter Jean, my aunt. I don't know if my father was there either. One relative was Eunice Scott, another relative of the Scott family, and the Harveys and the Kites. That was May 21, 1941. Well, at the Claudens Event Centre, this what happened on August 10, 2014. Of course, it's now the Glowbox. Bob Dylan and his band. The first show on August 9 sold out. The second show was announced. So one of you were at the Bob Dylan concert. The Claudens Event Centre, celebrating was their third birthday at the time. On the 2014 tour, Dylan was also only appearing in two centres, and one was Hamilton. And from 1973, one of Dylan's greatest, Knocking on Heaven's Door. FM 89.0, Independent Community Media. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. Bob Dylan from the soundtrack of Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. And, of course, he starred in that movie back in the 60s, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Yes, he was in Hamilton in 2014. Well, this week, the week has gone past, and we've been commemorating the D-Day landings 80 years ago this week. It was planned for 5 June 1944 to take advantage of moonlight and suitable tides. The Normandy landings were almost cancelled because of bad weather. Gambling on a brief respite, Eisenhower gave the go-ahead for 6 June. During the night, airborne forces guided by glider and parachute inland from the invasion beaches were 130,000 American, British, Canadian, Polish and French soldiers sailed across the channel. A massive bombardment by naval guns pummeled German fortifications at dawn as the landing craft headed ashore Five sectors, codenamed Omaha, Utah, Gold, Juno, and Sword. Omaha, the most famous of them. The operation did not go smoothly because of the poor weather. The airborne forces were widely scattered. 10,000 Allied casualties at Omaha Beach. American troops stayed pinned down near the water's edge through the afternoon. There was many obstacles, but D-Day will go down as one of the greatest war victories ever, as the tide had turned against the Nazi regime. They even made a movie around about 1960. It was a star-filled movie. John Wayne, Roddy McDowell, and many, many others starred in it. And there was a song that was done by Mitch Miller and the gang. And this is the version by Scottish tenor Kenneth McKellar. That period of time called The Longest Day. FM 89.0, independent community media, cosmopolitan news and views. The late, great Scottish lyric tenor, Kenneth McKellar, The Longest Day. We'll have another song around The Longest Day and D-Day, hopefully later in the afternoon. But hopefully you're tuned in this afternoon. And hello to Malcolm, a brother listening this afternoon, and to you around the world and through New Zealand online and here in Hamilton and the Waikato on our FM frequency and all around the world. Welcome, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is one of the access radio stations here in New Zealand. Well, this day, Mickey Mouse had a rival around 1934 in the form of the one and only Donald Duck. We're going to play the Mickey Mouse Club theme. Remember the Mickey Mouse Club? I remember the TV series because Justin Timberlake was part of that in the 80s, etc., etc. And we'll line up what we're going to do. Here we go. We've got it right now.
Who's the leader of the truck that's made for you and me? M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Mickey Mouse! Mickey Mouse! Forever let us hold our banner high, 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 high!
jamboree. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-R-C.
Mickey Mouse Club, Mickey Mouse Club. We'll have fun, we'll meet new faces. We'll do things and we'll go places. All around the world we're marching.
FM 89.0, independent community media. Yes, the Mickey Mouse Club theme. And of course, we were introduced to Donald Duck, a big rival for Mickey Mouse and the others. And we just can't forget all the other Disney characters that have gone on and on throughout the years. It is just on 2 minutes past one, 2 minutes past one on a Sunday afternoon. Hope your afternoon is finding you fit, well, and happy out there. What a busy week it has been. Here in town, you've just got your rates, 16% plus. And the news is that, of course, that our councillors, sorry, our CEO gets $400,000 a year. That was a bit of a shock to many, of course. And also over 300 getting payments of, salaries over $100,000. Are they really worth it? There's other councils in the area that have also got big bills when it comes to salaries too. So it's all go. So time to have another song from World War II as we move on through the afternoon, and this is Louis Jordan. Yeah, this is Louis Jordan at Free FM 89.0.
PFC to CPL, SGT the LT, CP the OD, the MP makes you do cappy. It's a GI jive, man. It starts with a bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Hey, Jack, that's the G.I. Jive. Rootily toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Arrivoot, after you wash and dress, more or less, you go get your breakfast from a beautiful little cafe they call the Mess. Hey, Jack, when you convalesce, out of your seat, into the street, make with your feet, or read, if you're a PVT, your duty is to salute the L-I-E-U-T, but if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the MP makes you care. It's a G.I. Jive, man alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called fluid drive. design. Chunk all your junk back in your trunk, all on your bunk. Chunk all your junk back in your trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. If you're PFC and you fail to salute the LT, the MP makes you can't be on the QT. Then you go to sleep before you count to five. But when you wake up in the morning, you'll have to do the GI Jive.
Thank you.
FM 89.0, independent community media. That is Forever Tuesday Morning. Those are the Mockers. Well, it's time to bring in my co-host and mate. Good afternoon, Mel Driscoll.
Good afternoon. Now, ex-president of the United States of America, now a convicted felon, Donald Trump, is out on the campaign trail, paving a way, if re-elected, to bestow a presidential pardon upon himself. Gary Schofield, you closely watch things happening in your American experience. What do you say?
Well, thank you, Mel. Yes, indeed. I watched him on the campaign trail, and at Arizona, I wouldn't say he unveiled a new approach, but he does have a slogan that he's continuing to have ring, which is too big to rig. So that is what he's focusing on his audience and trying to get the impression that if he gets an enormous support, then there will be overwhelming numbers of support for him, and he'll be able to be back as president. We'll see if he has the ability to pardon himself. I'm sure that that would be on the table, but it's the tricky nature of a state matter as opposed to a federal one, in which he has almost, you know, like very, I wouldn't say omnipotent, but a great deal of power in that regard. And he's also, as I'm sure that Bruce has also followed closely, he's also had these interviews with Hannity and with Dr. Phil even, and is doing the best he can now that he's free of sitting in the courtroom, yep, of being out on that trail.
Well, talking about Dr. Phil, that was a train crash and a half, wasn't it?
Well, Dr. Phil had his views, and as you know, he's a respected in that field. But it seems clear that he is sympathetic to Trump's predicament, and also was, in his nature, emphasizing the aspect of retribution, and wouldn't it be wonderful if we all rose above that very base element of our nature. And he was hoping that Trump, assuming he does resume power, would be magnanimous to his enemies, and that I didn't think was such a bad sentiment. And he did have some comments about the trial itself. It's not his forte, is not the law, but yes, to answer your question.
Yeah, in a bad week when Dr. Fauci got roasted by Marjorie Taylor Greene, it's all go. Boy, these mega Republicans, what a bunch. And but back to Trump, of course, he has got to report to his probation officer, and he can take his lawyer with him. That's been announced by the judge.
I see.
And he has to, I don't know what the probation officer is going to do. He's got to behave himself. He's got to have blood tests, whether he's got to have a urine test. He's got to go through what people in New Zealand go through when they go to probation. He's got to be told, you've got to be a good boy, Donald, or you may end up at Rikers Island.
Well, yes, and all eyes are on July 11th, I believe it is now, where there's a sentencing, and I have always at the back of my mind being that I think it might be undervalued the fact that the judge could actually send Trump to jail for contempt of his case as well.
Yep.
You know, because he did make that quite clear. So these are the issues that we are facing, or as a country, when we come close to the election. But we can't leave President Biden out of this discussion, because, of course, he's also had an interesting week, and we've had some historical events with the 80th commemoration of the Battle of, or the Operation of D-Day, and making very strong parallels to the current war,
yes,
in Ukraine, not very far, yep, away. And of course, France's role. Now we have French President Macron actually giving, well, I'm not sure if it's giving or leasing or how they do their financial business, but those Mirage jets will make could make a difference in that conflict. not the least of which would be the word escalation.
Well, guess who fled the scene?
Sunak?
Yes.
Yes.
He went back to the UK to do an interview with ITV. He's apologised for his actions, but it was noticed. Even the Scottish First Minister, John Sweeney, was there amongst the veterans, some of them 101. Sunak didn't endear himself to a lot of people when he was there.
Interesting from the perspective of having world leaders there at an event, because as you'd be aware, as it is in Washington, you make most of your important decisions and meetings when you actually got world leaders together at an event. That is a wonderful opportunity not to miss on behalf of your country, on behalf of your policies. So he must have deemed that whatever else was on his plate, and there are, you know, elections, and there's a lot on his plate for his own country, so it may be an ultimate mistake for him to have done that, but it's certainly well played out in the press. But I would just, you know, like to go back to D-Day itself, and as you know, like with 4,000 casualties, you know, dead, really, from there, more than that, in a perspective of the world in which we're currently living, don't forget that in Gaza, in a very small little strip of land, the Palestinians have suffered more than 35,000 killed just in that. And if we go into other parallels with the significance of it, because of course President Biden was making the analogy, as we like to do with history, to the current conflict with Russia, you know, and we've got a battle like Kursk, where Russia took 1 million casualties and called it a victory. And just on the scale of how we compare these conflicts, the support, air support, in the Battle of Kursk was about the same as the entire number of planes in the Battle of Britain. Mm-hmm. Right? So we have to, when we're making these parallels, make sure that we actually have the history that we're making parallels to also correct. And if you have time, I would love to introduce you for, because I know Bruce loves this, another little historical anomaly, and probably the greatest bluff in human civilization, which would be the fall of France. Yes. If you would like me to just give you something else to research for our next chat.
Yep, I've just brought up a book. I've got a book here called World War II in Minutes, and the Battle of Kursk is mentioned in this book. Yes. And I'm just looking further back in the book. Vichy France.
All right, so you're going to attack me with books, are you, Bruce?
Yep,
so
Why is it that
the army of France, which was formidable, the number of tanks, which was formidable, greater than the number of tanks of Germany, and they had better armor, and they also had, of course, the Allies. You know, they had the British as well. How could Germany have defeated France in a lightning blow, and how did that come to pass?
Well,
you really can't find that clearly in the history books. There are talks about, oh, it was the power of Blitzkrieg, which doesn't quite ring true when you hear what I just said, you know, about what it really was, and you also hear about how nobody would have expected tanks to come through the Ardennes, even though there was a road, you know. So what was it about the fall of France that was the greatest bluff? And you won't find this, really, in the history books.
No, I'm looking at a photo of Brigadier General Charles de Gaulle, the tall French officer who fled to England, and he went on the BBC to make speeches. He did a London broadcast on June 18, the anniversary of that is coming up in the next couple of days. June 18, 1940, made a broadcast back to his homeland from England on the BBC.
And tomorrow will be the 80th anniversary of one of the most savage actions of the war. It was in France, but it was a company of the SS Das Reich Division.
Yes.
Which killed all the inhabitants of the French village of Oradour-sur-Glane near Limoges. About 600 people, including the women and children, were executed on the spot or burned alive in the village church. They had committed no crimes, but were the helpless victims of the SS. which had been unable to find one of its commanders kidnapped by the French Marquis. The SS division had also been harassed by French resistance fighters in their move to the Normandy front from Toulouse. Now, that is in the published World War II almanac by Robert Gorlansky.
Another point about World War II is that the segregation of the US forces and the treatment handed out to African Americans serving in the forces during World War II.
Indeed. And when I was in the Pentagon, I actually was commissioned to do a work that represented the first Congressional Medal of Honor to an African American for a Navy man saving Army lives. And a quartermaster corps, so actually an Army man saving Navy lives. So it took decades for those kind of awards, that kind of recognition to African Americans within the services. But yes, you all make wonderful points, and the point we should glean is we should not pursue war unless we have no other option. So at the moment we're faced with a cataclysmic one that could easily engulf the Northern Hemisphere. So all this effort that we're putting into it surely should be to end it. And until that happens, it will not happen. But very quickly, the answer to my riddle was the Schlieffen Plan from World War One. So you might remember that Germany had to face a two-front war with France and Russia.
Yes.
The plan was to use a hammer blow down onto Paris and knock out France and then turn to face Russia. So Schlieffen constructed this plan, which had all the forces coming down from the north onto Paris in one hammer blow called a dominant maneuver, where an army has one objective, puts everything into that one objective, and that failed because Moltke, who followed Schlieffen, changed the plan and weakened the hammer, put some of the hammer head down at the bottom, was worried about the middle, and then by the time the hammer blow came down in 1914, it was slower, that had less impact, just in time for the British Expeditionary Force to strike that hammer on the flank at the Battle of Marne, and everything became trench warfare.
We'll have to have a look at this. Another thing, we'll have to have a chat on one of these days.
Yes, no, very quickly. So everyone said, my God, if Germany ever did this again, they would get the Schlieffen Plan right. So everyone said that was what they would do. And so when the bluff came that Germany pretended that the blow was really from the north, of course the French army rushed up to hold back this colossal strike, and the Germans came behind them, cut through the Ardennes, cut off the army, and it surrendered. So that you will not find written in this way of a bluff in the history books, but that is the explanation for why France started fighting.
One of these days, when we have more time, and when you return from the States, we've got to look at the Nuremberg war trials. This is one of the greatest law cases in American and world history. Okay. And the aftermath and the botched execution by an American sergeant who said, I've done it before, found out later he didn't. And look how those men condemned to death died horribly. We'll have to have a chat about that one day.
In the Middle East.
Never a dull moment, and thank you for this opportunity, and I'll be happy to continue to give you updates of what we're going to be experiencing in this extraordinary election in November.
You
name it, that's going to be important.
Are you going to be there the day that Donald Trump not meets his maker, but to get sentenced by the judge?
I will not be there. I'm actually trying to stay out of trouble as much as possible, as you know. And I also thought we could follow up, because it's important that we cover some of this basis of the United States that everybody has these views of. Read the First Amendment, too, for next time.
Yep.
The First Amendment is also basic, simple, exquisitely put together in just simple sentences, and that's the pride of the United States, right?
And today my man of the week is Dr. Anthony Fauci, who took on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Taylor Greene lost because she didn't want to call him doctor. It was Mr. Fauci to me. Yes. And accused him.
I saw that one. Yes, and that was an uncomfortable moment.
Yep.
However, if you continue to watch the hearings with Fauci, he has been caught out with the issue
yep.
of promoting that the lab leak theory
yep.
was not accurate and it was more likely a pangolin or some natural cause that came from it. So it was, you know, not every victory was to yep. Fauci.
And, of course, there was a man in the back behind Fauci's head. He was one of the people that attacked Washington that historic day.
Yes.
He's already done prison time. He was making faces behind Dr. Fauci. He was removed by court security and Washington police.
Yes, quite right. I saw that article. You can never count on who's in a congressional hearing, can you?
Oh, I'd love to sit in one of those congressional hearings that leaves our parliament to shame, doesn't it?
Well, we also have wonderful and interesting moments, and I must say that having Winston Peters in Parliament and Chloe Swarbrick can really bring attention to the eloquence of words, you know. And so, and also an interesting thing to think about with that, when you next listen to somebody speak at these congressional hearings or in our Parliament, they're writing music. Sometimes you have people that speak and they have lyrical, wonderful prose and they use the notes of what they're saying to express. Other people will talk just the same on the same note the whole time. But whatever they're doing, it's music that complements what they're actually saying.
That's well put.
Some people are good at doing that.
That's brilliant. Hey, we've got to say au revoir because we've got a guest who we know. Fred is joining us.
Wonderful.
From Saturday mornings, and he's going to talk about Palestine, and that is coming up. We'll talk again to you next week.
Yes, indeed. Look forward to it.
Bye-bye. There we are, our American correspondent. Well, I found that song from 1944. There's going to be a hot time in the town of Berlin as we commemorate D-Day. And, of course, the Allies are on the way to Berlin. Here's Bing Crosby and the Andrew Sisters. No, that's not it. We're just going to find the right track on this particular CD, but we'll get to talk to Fred next. I think we have found Bing Crosby and the Andrew Sisters.
Be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in. I want to be their boy, spread some joy when they take old Berlin. There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Brooklyn boys begin to take the joint apart and tear it down when they take old Berlin. They're gonna start a row and show them how we paint the town back in Kokomo. They're gonna take a hike through Hitler's Reich and change that hile to what you know, Joe. There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in. You could never keep them happy down on the farm after they take Berlin.
There'll be a hot time town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in. I wanna be their boy, spread some joy when they take old Berlin.
And may I join you?
There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Brooklyn boys begin to take the joint apart and tear it down when they take old Berlin. They're gonna start a row and show them how you paint the town back in Michigan. They're gonna take a hike through Hitler's Reich and change the aisle to give me some skin. There'll be a hot time
in the town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in. You're never gonna keep them happy down on the farm after they take Berlin.
Thank you. go marching in.
Go marching in.
I wanna be their boy. Spread some joy when
they take Berlin. The Yanks go marching in.
Be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Brooklyn boys begin.
The boys begin
to take the joint apart, tear it down when they take Berlin.
Be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in.
You could never keep them happy down on the farm.
The life of these would never please, they'd shudder with alarm.
No, you couldn't keep them happy down on the farm after they take
Yes, Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters from 1944, as we remember D-Day. But there's kind of another war going on in 2024. And we welcome our colleague. Good afternoon, Fred.
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. Yeah. So, how much focus I have on the day.
Hey, how's the fight going for Palestinian freedom? And
I'm pleased you asked me that question, not do you condemn Hamas? So that's good on you, Bruce.
Yeah, no, because I've taken a neutral stand because I've heard both sides of this particular story. And when I come into town on the bus, I see some of your colleagues and friends. They're on that, near the police station, on that corner, come outdoor the...
Yep.
But they've got to look after themselves. That's a very dangerous corner. Maybe yep. They've got to yep. move it. They've got to move it back a bit.
And, but I say, in the end, they're there to raise their awareness. And there's got to be some people, you know, we try and avoid risk, etc. But people are individuals. Yep. We don't sort of control anyone. Someone wants to go out and wave a flag in the middle of the road. As far as I'm concerned, that's their business. We're not in charge of anyone.
But you've held massive rallies outside the Hamilton City Council building on numerous weekends. Are you getting good crowds here?
Yes, we are. We're getting a new crowd, good crowds. Considering for Hamilton, you know, and it's an issue that for some people just want to stay blinkered, etc. But we're getting we've been doing this since October, so we've been doing rallies either over in Hillcrest or more recently in Garden Place, and we've had good numbers, and we get new people all the time. So because of the longevity of this atrocity that Israel is waging against the Palestinians, there's people coming all the time, and some people come in and you won't see them in a few weeks. But they haven't given up. They've got other things they do as well. So
it poses the spectre of thousands of people feeling they stayed as long as they could reasonably do in their homeland, Palestine.
Yep.
But it reaches the point where simply to survive means leaving that country, reluctant though they be.
But how do they leave, Mel? Who's going to accept them?
New Zealand?
We haven't yet. Mm-hmm. We're not going to accept. Who's going to accept 2 million Palestinians? And they don't want to leave.
Mm. The Arab nations on their borders?
And they won't accept them either.
And why not?
Because there's refugee camps. They've already... Lebanon's got something like 2 million refugees. Originally from the original Nakba, the original settling of Palestine after 1948 from the Israeli settlement.
So they're an unwanted people.
Which is, and the irony, the sad irony, is they're from there. They're from that land. If you go back in time, Palestine, it's been there a long time. These people haven't got, we'll just come here on a boat and we'll go find somewhere else, because they're from there. It's like saying to Māori, well, there's too many, you know, we don't want you here. You go somewhere else. They're actually from here.
Well, the policy of Foreign Minister, the Right Honourable Winston Peters, is for a two-state. What's your thoughts on a two-state?
Two-state or one state but equal human rights.
Yep.
And I say, let's face it, the Israelis have had, unfortunately, the Israelis have been... what would you call it? They've been quite an indoctrinated people. They came to mainly after the Second World War, as you're probably well aware, 1948 after the war. They were looking for a homeland for the Jews in Europe, etc.
Yep.
And so they came along.
Hey, all has started. Remember, and it's in the Bible. Moses, the Exodus from Egypt. That's when it all started.
Yeah, but who wrote the Bible?
Well,
that's what I'm getting at. It depends. People go, oh, the Bible, it's in the book.
I tell people that I don't believe some of the stuff in the Bible, and I get cried down by the people who, the religious
people.
The
book's a holy book. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to dish the Bible. But the Bible wasn't written by God. The Bible was written by people on their viewpoint. Some of their genealogy, some on their viewpoint. So there's naturally biased in there.
And of course, Charlton Heston led the Exodus and the Ten Commandments and all that. That was in Hollywood. That was Hollywood.
Yeah, well, Hollywood loved it. And let's face it, for the Jewish problem in Europe, for Israel to be established as a Jewish homeland, it solved a lot of problems initially.
Hey, did New Zealand officially subscribe to the United Nations idea of the two-state?
That's right, yeah.
That's where it stands.
And that's where it stands, but we've got an unwilling partner, which is Israel. Israel doesn't want two states.
Hence we have this struggle.
Is it a bit of a land grab? Because I think it was this day that Israel took the Golan Heights from Syria. It was this day, actually. So,
and have they given that back?
No.
Let me think. No.
You know, so they've been land grabbing.
It's colonisation, and it's a brutal colonisation, and it's a tragic colonisation, considering what happened to the Jews in Europe during the Second World War, and before that. There were pogroms against the Jewish people, throughout history.
Both sides seem to have difficulties in being accepted by their neighbours.
Do they, or is it just a matter of a belief, an indoctrination, on behalf of the Israeli Jews, especially? Mm-hmm. They've right from the early piece, they have been. There's three things that, and this doesn't come from me. This comes from people who are Jewish themselves. Elaine Pape, who's a well-known academic and scholar, and you know, he said the Israelis, especially, that have over the years, their three main. Sorry, I'll just get my glasses on. They go on three main tenets. First one is the chosen ones, i.e. Bruce, out of the Bible. No, it's all in the Bible. These are the chosen ones. They can do what they like, sort of thing. Two, the victimhood, which is from the Second World War and beyond, the Holocaust. So they're victims, and that's promoted, etc. And then three, there's the dehumanisation of the Palestinian people, Arabs.
What about the 12 tribes of Israel? Does that come into the mixture too?
Oh, no idea. No idea. I'm not a scholar on Testament stuff, but yeah.
Have you had the opportunity, Fred, to talk often face-to-face with a Palestinian?
Yeah, I do. I have Palestinian friends. I've got good friends, and you've probably met Ahmed and Ruba, that are friends of ours, and Cheryl taught one of their daughters to teaching her how to sew. Unfortunately, Cheryl died about a month ago, so that she got quite sick, so that's the end.
They live locally?
Yeah, they live in Ahopo.
That is sad too, but living where I do live for months, we had all these pro-Palestinian posters on all the bus stops off Cameron Road and all that, and round near the warehouse, and a lot of those posters were taken down, but it leaves a ungodly mess, doesn't it?
Yeah, and okay, that's activism, and the reality is we've seen that with lots of things over the years, the Springbok tour. You know, there's often posters put up. People are trying to get their message out, and they use all sorts of forums.
It's as if it's insolvable, the problem.
It's not insolvable if the Israeli people, and to a certain extent the Palestinian people, it's either solvable by two states, a viable two states, not a piecemeal sort of bits and pieces that the Israelis will sort of begrudgingly let them have, like the West Bank, which they control, like Gaza, which have just about taken off the face of the earth. But it's if they were given a feasible, I think personally, that you could have a two-state solution. What? Because Israel's a very powerful country. It's got probably the second or third best air force in the world. It's a hugely militaristic state. And it's supported boots and all by America. So Israel could easily give a piece of land, return a piece of land, not give. Israel took it off Palestinians in the first place, we must all remember. Israel could easily return enough Palestinian land for them to have a state, and Israel could protect itself forever because it has the power, it has the might. It's a nuclear-armed state, you know, tragically.
It portrays its policy on the basis of retribution for the attacks on Israeli citizens.
Yeah, they've almost, to my opinion, they've always had this eye for an eye, but it's not just one eye for an eye. In the case of this more recent atrocities, we've had, one eye for 40 eyes, so to speak. You know, 35, 40,000 people dead, mainly civilians. And that's sort of okay. So is that just self-defence or is that vengeance?
I just don't know, but I've had this with previous people who've interviewed on the subject, and they've all agreed that the Israelis and the Palestinians, they all have the same DNA. So,
I believe that's not quite right. There were Jews in that area from way back, but there were also Palestinians, or the origins of the Palestinians, and they were all related, I believe, in that early time. But don't forget, more recently, and we're talking since this last century, etc., the Jewish population has migrated there. So many of them are European-based, etc. Don't really have a link to Israel, Palestine at all.
Not a continuous link by their presence, generation after generation.
And you imagine, if I come from England, I come from Essex, some of my English ancestors, if I went back into Essex, into Brentwood, where I'm from, and knocked on the door where my great-grandfather used to live as a child, knocked on the door and said, "Hang on a minute, I'm from here, on your bike," how would we think that is fair?
Well, same here, because of them Scottish descent, so I could go into Glasgow or Edinburgh, go to the Gorbals, etc., etc., and just have a look.
Yeah, but if you went back and said you're on your bike because I've got a link here, it's in some book, would you think that's fair?
No, if you were the resident,
you'd think, hang on a minute.
Is it for the same reasons that New Zealand fails to initiate a program to accept as refugees those worst cases, orphaned children, the ones who haven't been directly connected with any fighting?
I think personally there's a lot of prejudice. I think you look at the example, we accept that Ukrainians, and not just New Zealand, but lots of Western countries accept them just straight away. And we supported the ICJ and the ICC about Russia, etc. As for Palestine, we're very reticent, we're very slow in reacting.
Have we room?
We have a lot of room. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of room for people. We don't, infrastructure problems, yes. Look at the UK. Look how big the UK is. What's that, 60 million people? And they struggle with some of the infrastructure, not because they couldn't do it, it's just who's going to pay for it.
What would it do to our economy then?
Bring people in, they work. We bring lots of people in and they work. We bring the people from the islands in and they work. And so bringing in more people isn't the issue as long as we provide infrastructure with it.
Believing as you do, you'll continue to take opportunities in public to demonstrate, to call for New Zealand to accept refugees?
We accept refugees, but that's not really the issue. The main issue is a fair deal for the Palestinian people in Palestine. To have some independence, to have some mana mutahaki, to have some dignity. You imagine families being slaughtered by, and I say, a war. They keep using the word war. Is this really a war when one side has all the technology, all the weapons, and you've got a few, what I call, they are actually very courageous because they're dying in their hundreds, if not thousands, fighting against this well-armed, it's got the Air Force that has their air support. Hamas doesn't have an Air Force. They don't have ships, etc. They are trapped in Gaza. And then what we see at present, they're just shuffling around and the Israelis are almost playing them like a cat with a mouse.
Do you get tired standing out in all weathers with a point of view and confronting people with the same message they saw last week?
No. Because at the end of the day, I'm not being bombed. I have power, I have water, I have food in my cupboard.
Yep.
I don't have any problems with my neighbour. You imagine your section at your house and you're not even allowed to touch the boundary fence.
Yep.
You know, that's what the Palestinian people deal with.
Is it time to remove Benjamin Netanyahu?
He's not indifferent to lots of Israelis. He'll just be replaced. And they say to people, have the opposition. The Israelis aren't demonstrating in the streets about getting rid of apartheid or occupation. They're grizzling about the government and the right-wingness of the government, but they're not demonstrating about ending the occupation or ending the apartheid.
Is it time for another Golda Meir?
No, it's time for someone. It's time for Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, I hear that call, and sadly, I hope that Donald Trump has been making. I've seen some of his stuff on Israel, and hopefully, he's not going to be president by the end of the year.
Yeah, it doesn't like America at present. And there's a big protest movement, a big awareness happening in America. As we speak, I believe they're surrounding the White House as a demonstration.
Yeah.
Not an insurrection, but to try and show to the administration this was not right. And there's thousands of young Jews, American Jews, who are in those demonstrations. This whole what Israel is doing has harmed the whole Jewish reputation around the world.
Yeah.
Because they do it. Netanyahu keeps doing it. In defence of the Jewish homeland. How do you use that word defence when you're dropping a bomb, demolishing a building with civilians inside it?
Hey,
where's the word defence in that?
We'll have to continue this interview another day and bring Mick in with you because we want to talk one of these days about the upcoming British election, which, on D-Day, of course, Rishi Sunak fled, and he's got a lot of flack for that this week too. Yeah. So,
Well, I'll leave you, gentlemen, from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free.
Yep, good on you. Here is a song from the movie and the stage play, Broadway. Of course, it was Fiddler on the Roof.
If I were a rich man, I have a dibby-dibby-dibby-dibby-dibby-dibby-dum. All day long I bidy-bidy-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I would...
Under Fiddler on the Roof, and If I Were a Rich Man from the late Topol, who was a movie, so we're talking movies. Mel?
To update on the current French Film Festival, we're one of 20 centres around New Zealand in Hamilton, chosen to be on the rounds of the French films, a lot of new films, and a presence by French-speaking folk, French-Canadian, French from France, one expects. And it's no wonder because these are attractive subjects and sometimes a little controversial. Today, for instance, we have at 3:30 the film Rosalie in French, but with subtitles, an historic drama set in the 1870s France. The key character in the world of prejudice that prevails then is a young woman. A tavern keeper, interested in marrying her for her dowry, will find his wife comes with the challenge of loving her for her own sake, regardless of her unconventional physical differences. Then, at 5:45 today, Jean Dubarry is the epitome of a rise from rags to riches of a working-class woman in the reign of King Louis XV, whose mistress she becomes. Eventually, when she moves into the palace at Versailles, its halls are plunged into scandal and the friction over newly arrived Marie Antoinette, a spectacular drama filmed at Versailles.
And, of course, that does star the one and only Johnny Depp. And it's all in French, so Johnny Depp had to learn to speak French.
And we have the commendation by the festival patron Francesca Rudkin for achieving in the case of one film, Marguerite's Theorem, based on a real character, what she suggests few teachers of mathematics rarely succeed in doing at school. Making maths interesting. Marguerite does that by being so brilliant, but her autistic nature doesn't fit easily with emotions. and we see the turmoil portrayed on the screen. Now that Marguerite's Theorem screens next at 3:30 on Thursday, next Thursday, the 13th of June. That's our update on the movies.
The most beautiful sound I ever heard. Maria, 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 Maria. All the beautiful sounds of the world in a single word. Maria, 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 I just met a girl named...
From Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story, Placido Domingo, and that is Maria. Good afternoon, Dwayne Porter.
Yeah, good afternoon, Trips. Well done to the Chiefs. You know, we're in the semi-finals up against the Hurricanes. Club rugby results. Hautepu had a win over Otahonga, 29-12. University beat Te Amiri by 43-38. Moranzo had a win, 26-38. Hamilton Maris, you know, it's another victory, 39-16. A bye for Hamilton Old Boys and Preston Tech. So this is round one at the moment. So round two is all set for next week. So, you know, hopefully go to Chiefs for the final. You know, depends on if we can beat the Hurricanes.
Are you getting tickets or are you going to watch it on television?
It's... I don't know if it's a home game, might be a away game.
Well, yeah, maybe. So, well, look out for that. Maybe the Chiefs can finally win the championship. What a great...
Well, they got to, because, you know, you look at the Blues, you know, I think the Blues must have paid the referee from last night's game.
Oh, don't go there. That ref might be listening to us. West Side Story. Well, the news of the week out of Coronation Street is that Helen Worth is leaving the series. She's been in that series since she was a teenager. Her character was boarding with Elsie Tanner. And Helen Worth, she's in the 70s now, and she is leaving Coronation Street for the final time. So reports out of the UK say she may be killed off. So this is watch the space.
Oh, yes, it's a... So watch the space program all told, even more so of what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, your comment for the week.
I saw three cyclists this week,
yes.
And they're on the footpath, and one went on the cycle lane temporarily and then swiftly went back on the footpath.
Mm.
So that's the way it goes. But I just think of the state of the world we're in now with the news that the rates are going up 16%. It's going to affect everyone, landlords and tenants alike. And Smith & Co. is shut down after over nearly 150 years. Hundreds of people out of a job, going on the dole. I think, where's the bright light in today's world that we're living in? There seems to be redundancies galore. And then there's a tax cut.
Yep.
Well, for pensioners, you might get a small loaf of bread.
Yep.
A week. It's so small, it's only a few dollars.
Did you hear my comment just when it came on air about we are paying our city CEO, city council CEO, $400,000 a year, and there's over 300 people on the payroll at Hamilton City Council over $100,000 a year?
Well, they should look in their mirror, that city council, and start cutting back on these incomes.
Yep.
I mean,
yep,
it's ridiculous.
Yep.
And the poor ratepayers are subsidising, yep, that.
And we could be losing the City Safe men. We could also be losing a library. And you heard the comments made by Her Worship the Mayor. And they've I find them incredible when they're not asking for these people are over $100,000 or even the city CEO to take a pay cut.
Well, that's right. I mean, unless they're doing their bit and looking after the ratepayers, I'll yet to find a council that do that. They'd like to spend it, and like they're doing to the museum, upgrading it.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with it. And the new theatre, I mean, it's diabolical, and they've been in debt for years, yep, and years.
Hey, thank you, Trevor, for your comment. We'll do it again next week. I see Derek's here for Harmony Waikato, and Peter's also here. Have a good day. And this is our outgoing music. Time to say goodbye. These are the Pipes and Drums, the Military Band, the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.